You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Sam Turner here to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's action. Racing at Catterick, Fontwell, Lingfield and Kempton on Wednesday. We're going to get to some contests, one at Lingfield, two at Fontwell and one at Kempton in just a few moments. But first things first, good afternoon, Mr. Turner. How are you?
Hello, Alex. Yeah, very well, thank you.
Good. You've been on a little adventure, haven't you, in the last couple of weeks?
Yes, I was lucky enough to go out to the Middle East for a week. Otherwise known as Dubai, and that was very pleasant. Managed a trip to Maidan Races and chatted to a bloke who's got a ride in a bumper next week.
Lovely. That's also a seamless link into
nothing if not professional.
The first news topic that we're going to discuss. We've got just a bit of sort of more admin than anything else. Yeah. Nothing that's absolutely astounding, but we'll start with Pat Smullen. He will be riding in the bumper at Cheltenham again.
Yeah.
Not a rare occurrence to have flat jockeys in bumpers. I personally think it's a little bit, not contentious, but just,
Right. You've
got jockeys who've worked hard all year.
Yes.
Getting these horses ready, and then it's sort of like...
almost like the Victoria Pendleton situation, isn't it?
Possibly.
Where, an ex-Olympian cyclist has been bussed into the Fox Hunters, which has drawn a fair bit of debate. But I think it's quite nice to have one or two of the flat jockeys riding, you know, the likes of Jamie Spencer, Richard Hughes, and, of course, Pat Smullen. They've all... tackled the bumper in past years. I think Pat's won it once, hasn't he? And he's ridden Vigil a couple of times last couple of years. So he's no stranger to the race. And I think he really enjoys coming over. I was lucky enough to get 10 or 15 minutes with him last week at Maiden. And he was, you know, very enthusiastic about First Figaro, his ride. Thought that he'd give him a good spin that day. He's going to want better ground, I think. Even though he's German bred, he sort of had a run back over Christmas time at Leopardstown on bottomless ground and was beaten by Lucky Pass. Finney Maguire rode him that day, and you know, Lucky Pass looks a really strong staying type from the Mullins camp, and there was probably no disgrace in defeat for First Figaro, who was only just beaten by Champers on Ice in a bumper at the Punchestown Festival last year and then won on good ground or yielding ground at Galway, was yet another winner for Dermot Weld at Galway. So if he does get better ground next week at Cheltenham, then he could be a lively outsider.
You rode Rite of Passage, Mullen, in 2009 when it finished third.
Yeah.
And Vigil 2 years ago when Silver Concord won. So
yes.
Dermot Weld does have previous in the race.
He does. So. Well, he seems to win any race and every race, doesn't he, at some stage of his career, Dermot Weld.
Certainly one to keep an eye on there. You mentioned Victoria Pendleton. This is yesterday's news now, if
it
you
is.
Like. But she will be riding at the festival. She'll be on Pasha de Polder. I think that's fair in the end, given how she's done in recent weeks.
Yeah.
But again, there will be doubters, won't there?
Yeah, the Wincanton victory obviously silenced a few doubters, and then the doubters popped their head above the parapet, didn't they, at the weekend when she unseated on the flat in a point-to-point. I find it very, very difficult to find a definitive answer to this question, and it's just going to be one for the hindsight merchants week on Friday, isn't it? Should she ride in the race? Has she got enough experience? Those are my concerns. My concerns for her well-being. Obviously, she's been paid handsomely to tackle this challenge, but you can see as well that the love and the passion for horse racing is there and is very sincere. So I think she's made giant strides. Whether those strides are quick enough for me, I just hope to God that she gets around okay. You know, popping around Wincanton on Pasha de Polder, a nice flat track with a small field, is going to be different from riding with 24 runners. After the Gold
Cup, easy lead as well.
She got an easy lead. He's a pretty uncomplicated horse. You're then going to Cheltenham with crack Irish jockeys and one or two, you know, tough nuts from the point to point world, from this country as well. They'll go a million miles an hour there. You won't be able to set a merry man's gallop in that race. So it's going to be a whole new challenge for her. I love the way she's embraced it. I just hope that it hasn't come a little bit too soon. I'm not dead set against her riding in the race. You know, I don't buy into that sort of theory that, you know, she's a Johnny come lately and she shouldn't be allowed to ride in a race because, you know, the race is open to anybody who wants to have a go at it. But I am a little concerned that she is very inexperienced. And, you know, she, two out of the last three times she sat on a horse, she's unseated and what looks fairly soft occurrences. So I think she's still got, you know, an awful amount to prove, but I wish her well, and I just hope she comes back safe and soundly, and there's no pile-up and no recriminations afterwards.
She does come across well, though, doesn't she?
I mean, she's been great for racing, no doubt about it. Quite why she's the lead story in the Racing Post, and Joseph O'Brien, a two-time Irish champion jockey, quitting isn't, but that, you know, that's a question for them, I guess. But I would hope that she just comes home safe and sound, and, you know, that she enjoys the experience and goes well.
I did wonder about that Joseph O'Brien piece, because it's sort of down a little side. It is front page, but only just.
Yeah, it's a classic. They've got the picture and the headline and everything sorted, and then the O'Brien news has broken late. I mean, it's strange. I mean, I'm not claiming to have broken this story by any stretch of the imagination, because I think Dave Yates broke it 6 months ago. And I did a piece the same night for the Mail. My boss was away at the time, and I think we were probably, there was only two or three papers who carried it, saying that he was, you know, he's intent on going training, he was going to quit, he wasn't going to ride this flat season. Then, of course, everybody jumps on with the exclusive that he's actually, that is actually happening now.
One of the worst kept secrets, really, hasn't it?
I mean, well, he was on Facebook 6 months ago, like asking for staff, you know, advertising for staff. So that's where Dave and I picked it up from. And, you know, good old Facebook. it's a good, and Twitter. They're a fantastic lead. You can get some fantastic stories off them. But you know that was the reason. And nobody at the Racing Post didn't touch it. And you know, I don't think Channel 4 touched it either, which is strange. But there we go. Anyway, it's out in the public domain now. And you know, fair play to him. He's enjoyed a magnificent career. And I think he's done exceptionally well. Yeah, he'll have his critics. You know, one or two people feel that, you know, nepotism suggested that he got more rides than his talent perhaps deserved. But yeah, he made one or two errors, but he also rode some blinding races as well.
Always likely to happen, this though, wasn't it? He struggled with his weight for years now, and it's sort of a logical way to go.
It is.
If he has been in charge of Aidan O'Brien's jumpers for the last 6 months, he's not done a bad job, has he?
No, not at all. And you know, his dad would pay credit and heap the plaudits on him for the way that he did most of the training with Camelot, I think, and I think he did a fair bit with St Nicholas Abbey. Mm-hmm. I think there's been one or two horses that sort of Joseph has overseen their training regimes, and now whether that's dad just looking after his son and saying that he had an integral role than he actually did is open to question. But you know, there's no reason why, you know, there should be any fibs told, and you know, it's obviously that Joseph has played a real vital role in the Ballydoyle operation, a vital cog in that operation.
Final piece of news, just before we get on to tomorrow's action, is Maffa Lowell, who has retired.
Yeah.
She was expected to run at the festival, so it's a bit of a surprise, but she's already in France, I think.
Yes.
Getting ready to start a career as a broodmare.
Yeah, she'd be a valuable commodity as well. They've obviously not been able to recreate the heights that she did early in her career in recent times. She just looked as though she fell out of love a little bit with the game. They tried over hurdles this year and fences haven't ignited the spark, so probably a wise decision. And obviously they're going to have some decent progeny from her, you would imagine. She'd be a very valuable commodity. She was pretty near top class, wasn't she, in the mare's sphere when she was right.
Very tough as well.
She was very tough, very genuine, jumped well, was good on the big day, and for a mare was pretty consistent when she was right. But obviously she's lost that spark and that you know, the vital component, which is, you know, the hunger and the fire to battle.
Yeah, certainly makes sense, doesn't it, for all parties?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, right, we'll move on to Wednesday's racing. We're going to start at Lingfield with the 3:10, which is a handicap over 6 furlongs. We've got 10 runners down to go to post for this one, Sam. We'll start with Fleck Earl here, who arrives in fantastic nick.
He does. He did me a favour a couple of starts ago. Unfortunately, I missed all the prices, didn't back him, and just tipped him over 7 furlongs. And I think he went from 14s into 5-2. So it felt like I tipped a loser, really, the fact that he was so well backed. But he did it very comfortably that day. And then stepping back to 6 furlongs for the first time, managed to win a Class 3 handicap. So up in grade and won a Class 3 handicap. And he's, all of a sudden, he's gone from 79 to 90. He carries a £6 penalty here, and he stuck out on the wing a little bit, which is a concern, but he will be dropped in, I would suggest, and try to be smuggled through, which, you know, he's got a good turn of foot from that corner, as he showed two starts ago and last time. So I would imagine that Jim Crowley, who's friends of the owner, will make a bold bid for a hat-trick here.
OK. Firstly, is that the pick?
That is the pick. Just about gets a nod. I think there's you know, one or two pace angles here. Bertie Blue Boy, obviously, Mighty Zip. They might take him along on a good gallop. That'll suit Fleck Earl. It'll suit Paul Le Victoire, who sort of bolted up over 7 furlongs here last time. Might suit Vimy Ridge as well, who's drawn one and steps up in trip. And the Titchbourne, who's also been in fair order. So it's a competitive little heat, for sure. But Fleck Earl, from a yard going in good, going great guns at the moment. Conor Dawe is really tremendous trainer and sweetener of other people's horses when he gets hold of them later in their careers. And he's done a really good job with Fleck Earl, who was, you know, a very useful horse a year or two back for William Muir and always looked like he was going to be talented.
Mm. OK, so Fleck Earl gets the vote in the 3.10. We'll move to Fontwell next for a handicap chase over the extended 2 mile, 3 furlong trip. Just the 5 going to post for this one, Sam. They all come here off the back of pretty solid runs last time out, with the exception of Vic de Touzan. He unseated, but was running well at the time. And
yeah,
it's quite a competitive little race, this.
It is. Vic de Touzan was a little bit unlucky behind Le Vatican. Hasn't got too many convictions on the card by Dom Alco, so you'd imagine that he'd have a good career over fences. Struggling to win, he's 0-8. But as I say, you know, just 6 races in this country, and some of these Venetia Williams horses are slow burners. They do take a while to, you know, find their feet. I know he's got a couple of entries this week, and I wonder, you know, whether they were toying with entering him for Cheltenham in one of the handicaps. But he hasn't been entered. But, you know, he's a kind of horse that off a mark of 120, that doesn't look punitive at the moment, and he'll give a bold sight again. I think he's pretty much tripless. I think he's probably as effective over sort of 2.5, 2.6 as he is over, you know, 2.25 at Taunton. So I think he's pretty versatile trip-wise. It's just whether he can put his best foot forward here and not show any ill effects from that soft unseat at Wincanton.
OK. What about the others then? Why don't we talk about Dalliance?
Yeah.
Will Featherstone's.
Yeah.
Ridden, I think the last 4 rides have all won.
Yes.
Got one ride in the 220 at Fontwell before this race, but he could be a young jockey going places.
He could be. He rode a horse I tipped the other day, Hear the Chimes, and rode that OK, and then he's been in great form ever since, you know, winning an 8-1, 2 6-4 favourites and a 5-1 poke yesterday at Lingfield, so including a double yesterday at Lingfield. So he's in great order at the moment. This horse goes over fences, which should suit. He's just a pretty one-pace galloping plodder on over hurdles who managed to win at Huntingdon under William. So at least he knows the jockey and the rider well. And Noel Williams in good form as well, because Bingo Dolivarte won for him at the weekend at a big price. And Briary Queen obviously winning at Doncaster a week or two back. So, yeah, but I do fancy Native Robin a bit here. I think he's got a good chance for Jeremy Scott. His form of his Doncaster debut over fences, where he won at 20-1 and beat the Mumper, has taken a couple of handsome boosts since. The Mumper winning, I think Supreme Bob in 7th has won. I think Under the Phone's run well since. The Flying Portrait, all the horses down the card have all run well and with great credit subsequently. So I think off a mark, well, I don't think the handicap has been too taxing with him. He's put him up 7 for that performance, which I wouldn't say it's overly generous, but I don't think it's very harsh, given that we don't know how good he could be over fences. He's only 6. He's been put aside since that Doncaster race 40 days ago. He's probably looking for slightly better ground, and fingers crossed he'll run well here. He's been around Fontwell in a novice hurdle, so at least that experience will stand him in good stead.
OK, Native Robin, the selection in Fontwell's 3.20. Next up is the Fontwell 3.50, a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. 7 runners down to go to post for this one. There's a couple who arrive here out of sorts, but there's plenty of angles into this race, and I think it's quite a difficult one to know where to start with.
It is. I think Somerset Gem returning to the track 7 days after running behind Tegrita, who's a useful mare of Paul Nicholls, got a great chance. I still think that Somerset Gem's very feasibly handicapped at the moment. I mean, although won off 87 by 13 lengths at Wincanton in the middle of February and was put up 16 for that. The Tegrita run last time suggests that Somerset Gem hasn't perhaps come to the end of its tether. Obviously, Flashman comes here in good form. He wasn't disgraced on the all-weather last time. Jamie Moore, Gary Moore teaming up. But the pick's going to be Never Says Never, who's been off for some considerable time, 3 months. You would imagine that Never Says Never could be feasibly handicapped at the moment. And I never mind these Anthony Honeyball horses when they've been given a little bit of a break. Previous to that, he'd won twice on heavy ground, once at Exeter, once at Lingfield. And he beat Sir Opdamenth very comfortably at Lingfield back at the start of December. That was a really smart performance. And I just think perhaps putting the tongue tie on this horse this year has turned his form around. And I noticed Noel Healy's been booked as well. So fingers crossed there could be more to come from Never Says Never.
OK, the final race that we're going to look at comes from Kempton. It's the 6.10 and it's a handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. A Class 2 event as well. Good little race, this. As often with these kind of races at this time of year, Sam, it's Godolphin who holds seemingly the strongest hand here.
Yeah, very much so. Couple of very strong contenders, one trained by John Gosden, Maverick Wave, and the other one by Charlie Appleby, who's in good form and enjoyed a good night at Maidan, a good week at Maidan last week. Razor Wind's an interesting horse. He was at the run of the race and was very well backed at Wolverhampton last time. It was a little disappointing that he couldn't get the job done under Adam Kirby, but Intrude came and picked his pocket late on. I'm going to go with Maverick Wave. He's not the most straightforward of characters, but he was very highly tried last year. I mean, don't forget he ran in the Champion Stakes. He was a horse that was often used as a bit of a pacemaker, a speed go from the gate. And we saw that last time out where he led the field in the Winter Derby, which was a really good performance. He was only picked off by Grendisar, a horse that's been in really good order this winter and has finally managed to collect some of the victories that his talent has promised over the years. And it was a really fine performance, I thought, from Maverick Wave. Yes, he led and he was there to be shot at, as he will be again here. But it was a fine effort from him. And I think if he can repeat anything like that level of performance, he's going to take a good bit of beating here, back in a handicap, even off 9 stone 12.
OK, Maverick Wave, the selection then, in Kempton 6.10. Great stuff, Sam. Enjoy all the action coming up on Wednesday and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.